chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be reading verses 14 through 27 in just a moment. The title of our message this morning is Well Done, Well Done. Corporate psychologist Tim Irwin tells the story about a man and his son, and he said, we were in the third round of the playoffs. It was an incredibly hard-fought game. Our son, who would later play ball in college, was the captain of the team that year, and he gave everything he had to inspire the group of football players to excel. But they were a little outmatched in that particular game. He said, I went out onto the field as the final seconds ticked away. My son was overwrought. His whole body shook with heaving sobs. He had given everything that he could. As I held him with steam rising off of him in the coolness of the night, I noticed out of the corner of my eye the head coach of the opposing team walking across the field in our direction. He came over and said, Sir, may I speak to your son for a moment? He put his hand on William's shoulders and looked directly into his eyes and said, Son, tonight you left nothing on the field. It was an honor to play against you. Don't we all want at the end of our lives for someone to say, you left nothing on the field? You gave it your all? Wouldn't you want the Lord to say that to you? Or in the more familiar words of Jesus, wouldn't you want the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? You know, we've all probably heard emotionally stirring sermons about how wonderful it would be one day to stand before Jesus as he welcomes us through the portals of heaven and hear these wonderful words of commendation being spoken to us. But we're not often told what it will take to receive such words of approval from our master. It will take leaving it all on the field of service, leaving it all on the field as a servant of the Lord, doing the work of his kingdom in our life. Read with me, if you will, Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14. Again, and you could put the kingdom of God, because he's talking about the kingdom of God. So you would say, again, the kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man who had received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See? Here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you know that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have at least put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. You know, we often read or hear this passage preached from the perspective of a challenge to use our time, our talent, and our treasures that God has given us for his work, which is certainly an appropriate and correct understanding and application. Today, however, we're going to look at this parable from a slightly different vantage point. This parable is also God's message for Christians who are serving, who are presently involved in serving, those who are faithfully, obediently, sacrificially, week in, week out, year after year, serving the Lord. And the central message of the parable is hearing the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." And this is God's message today for the Sunday school teacher, for the girls ministry sponsor, for the Royal Ranger commander, for the deacon ministry leaders who tirelessly minister care ministry to our congregation year after year. This is God's message for the worship team members who sacrifice time and energy to come to rehearsals during the week, to be here every service of the week, to come early on Sunday mornings so that you can enjoy worship and enter into the Lord's presence. This is God's message for the nursery and children's workers who lovingly teach our children that they might have a relationship with the Lord and understand the Word of God at their level, and so that you as parents can also worship God freely without distraction in the services. This is God's message for the ushers, the greeters, the counters, the media technicians, and a host of others who may never stand on a stage in front of you, but their ministry is essential to the order, the flow, and the experience of worship for all of us and the smooth functioning of the church. This is God's message for the ministry leaders who labor unceasingly, facing challenges, criticism, and disappointments to press on and work for the Lord. This is God's message for those who labor for the Lord relentlessly, because it's possible to become discouraged or disappointed or even worn out, especially when you don't see the progress in ministry that you might have expected, or you don't see the changes in lives that you desire. And it is this very inclination to become discouraged or disheartened that Paul addresses in Galatians 6:9 when he says, "Let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Paul is encouraging believers not to become tired or discouraged in serving the Lord by reminding them of the spiritual harvest that they will reap and the eternal reward that will await them. And Jesus' words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, come and share your master's happiness," are also meant to encourage and inspire all of those who are serving the Lord in the trenches, week in, week out, year after year. I believe we have some of the best servants here at New Life who are giving their lives serving God and this congregation tirelessly, sacrificially, and faithfully. And I want to say to you today, well done, well done, well done. The Master looks down upon you and He is pleased with your service. And as we consider the parable of the talents, this message is for all who are faithfully serving Him, that you might be encouraged in knowing that your Master recognizes your labor and your Master rewards your labor here and in the life to come. The first thing I want us to see is that we must be encouraged to serve faithfully because of the Master's generosity. In verses 1 and 2, we look again and it says, "Again, the kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability." And what does this mean for us today? It means the Master has given each of us a life to be lived for Him. What a generous gift that God has given to us, the gift of life. Someone has said that God's gift to us is the life that He has given us, and our gift to God is what we do with that life. What are we doing for the Lord with the life that He has given us? God has given every one of us a life to be lived in service to Him. Notice that the Master gave His servants His own property. He gave them what He owned. It belonged to Him, and He would one day come to collect on it with profit. even the life that we live is not our own. It has been given us by God, and it belongs to Him. And He expects us to live that life for His glory and honor. He expects us to live this life in service to Him, to bring a profit, a benefit to His kingdom. The missionary C.T. Studd wrote, "Only one life till soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." What are you doing for Christ that will last through eternity? What you do at your job will not last through eternity. What you do in amassing wealth or in building a nice house, that's wonderful. Nothing wrong with it as long as you're keeping God first. But those things you cannot take with you to eternity. Those things will one day rust, and they will one day deteriorate, and you will one day leave them behind. Only what is done for Christ will last. And I'm so grateful for the many here who have recognized that your life is not your own, that your life is a gift from God to be lived for His purpose. I'm so grateful for the many of you here who have realized that the time is short, and the only moment that we have to serve the Master is today. There's a lot of people that keep saying, "One day or tomorrow I'll serve the Lord." But you have recognized that tomorrow is not guaranteed to any of us. And the only day that we have to serve the Lord is today. And I am grateful for your service unto the Lord today. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. So many are sitting around waiting for a more perfect time, for a less hectic time. Let me tell you, if you have that mentality, that perfect time, that less hectic time will never come. If you don't make time for God today, you will never make time for God. I am so grateful for all of you who, in the midst of your hectic schedules, who in the midst of your busy lives, you have prioritized God and you have made time to serve the Lord today. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We are grateful for your service. Thank you for serving the Lord today, diligently, faithfully, amidst all the stuff of life, amidst your jobs, amidst your families, amidst upkeeping a home and going to the grocery and preparing meals. And yet you have made God a priority, and you are serving the Lord today. And God says to you, "Well done." And we say to you, "We love and appreciate you." Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. The Master has also generously given each of us the privilege to partner together with Him in the work of His kingdom. Some people sit around and say, "God hasn't given me anything to do." The Master entrusts every one of His servants with His property to carry out His business until He returns. What a privilege that He would trust us to minister on His behalf. You say, "Well, I don't know what ministry I have." That's okay. The Bible says, "Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it. Do it." See? If there's trash to be picked up outside in the front area, you walk in church on Sunday morning and you see the wind has blown some trash, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it. Amen? If you hear an announcement that the Royal Rangers need leaders, men, do it. If you hear an announcement that the cleaning crew needs help, do it, ladies. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it. If you don't know what to do, we can find your hand something to do. And we are grateful for all those that are in our midst who their hand has found something to do, and they are doing it with all of their might. Hallelujah. We are partnering together with God because He has supplied to us everything that we need to carry on His business in the world. We partner with Him by realizing that everything we have comes from Him, everything we have belongs to Him, and it is only ours for a time, and He has entrusted it to us to be used for His purpose. And we have people here who invest themselves, giving sacrificially and generously of their time, of their energy, of their finances to advance God's kingdom, to see lives changed for His glory and honor. Well done. The Master is pleased with you. Well done, good and faithful servant. And we see that the Master has generously given each of us certain gifts, talents, and abilities to be used for His purpose. Some sit around saying, I can't do anything. I don't have any gifts. I can't sing. I can't teach. I can't pray like so-and-so. Well, you know what? The Bible tells us that the Master gave to each of His servants. And He gave to each servant according to their ability. 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. No servant was left out. Folks, I want you to understand, He doesn't expect us to do what someone else can do. He doesn't expect you to do what you can't do. But He expects you to use what He has given you to its maximum benefit for His purpose. You see, this master in our story, his property was distributed in terms of what's called talents. A talent in that day was a sum of money determined by weight. Scholars estimate that the sum of 1 talent was worth about 20 years' salary for the common laborer. So in today's terms, for instance, if the common laborer earned, let's say, $30,000, then 1 talent of money would be $600,000. So even the servant who received 1 talent received a significant endowment, a significant sum to do something for the master. So no matter what your talent is, you may think, I only have this little measly ability. But in the Master's eyes, it is a valuable ability to be used for His glory and honor. I mean, how would you feel if you deposited $600,000 with an investment firm and gave them instructions to purchase particular stocks on your behalf that you believed would bring an increase? The stock takes off and you're set to make millions, so you come back to collect your profits. And you say, oh, and they say to you, oh, we're sorry. We were afraid to lose your money, so we didn't invest it. Here, we're giving you back your $600,000. See, that's exactly what the servant with 1 talent did. He didn't think it was all that much, and he was afraid that he was going to lose it. And so he buried it in the ground and did nothing with it. Notice that he failed to bring a profit to his master, not because he didn't get anything valuable from the master, not because he didn't get as many talents as the others, but the master identified the real issue. Plain and simple, he said, "You wicked and lazy servant." The master does not expect us to do what someone else does. But he expects us to use the gifts, talents, and opportunities he has given us to their maximum glory, to their maximum benefit for his glory. He expects us to use those talents. You see, I can't sing. And I've taken years of music classes. And I can play somewhat by reading music, but not that well. I can't play very well by ear. I've told the story when I first became friends with Pastor Anna. She tried to teach me to play by ear, and I have to count, you know, because music goes by counts. And she kept telling me, don't count, just feel it. And I kept saying, I have to count. It's 4 beats. That's 2 beats. And she eventually gave up on me because I don't have that natural talent. I'm so grateful the worship team showed up this morning, because if they hadn't, I'd have had to try to go over there and plunk out something on that piano and sing something, and y'all would have run screaming from the building. Amen. God doesn't expect me to do something that He has not gifted me to do. But He expects me to use the gifts that He has given me to their maximum ability for His glory and honor. And the same is true for you as well. I am glad that there are so many faithful servants here who don't sit around making excuses saying, well, I don't have a gift, or my gift is not that important, or my gift is not that valuable. But they have taken whatever gift the Lord has given them, and they are busy working for His kingdom to do the best in their ability, using the gifts, talents, and opportunities the Lord has given them, and advance His kingdom. And the Master says to you this morning, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Be encouraged to serve faithfully, because the Master has been generous to you in the life that He has given you, in the gifts that He has given you, and in the privilege that He has given you to partner with Him. Be encouraged to serve faithfully because of the Master's gratitude. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. In John 12:26, Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me, that where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve him, will my Father honor him. The word honor means to prize or to value. God values those who serve Him. God values your service to Him. And God will bless and reward your service for Him. And what does the Master value? The Master values faithfulness. Faithfulness. A small boy was standing by a horse, and a stranger asked him, son, can that horse run fast? He said, I don't know, but he sure can stand fast. To stand fast means that you're standing firm and faithful. See, faithfulness speaks of steadfastness. It describes a trait of reliability, of loyalty, of trustworthiness, of dependability. A faithful person is someone that you can rely on, someone you can count on, someone who is dependable. They commit to doing something and they do it no matter what. They may be sick, they may be tired, they may be going through hardship, they may be going through difficulty, but they show up and they do their service unto the Lord. You know, the Postal Service has a motto, and it says, neither snow nor rain, nor heat nor gloom of night stays those couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. Folks, this last week we had torrential downpours. Did you get your mail? Yeah. See, those postal workers couldn't say, wow, it's horrible weather out there. Don't think I'm going to be carrying the mail. Those FedEx workers, those UPS workers, they couldn't say it's horrible weather out there. Don't think I'm going to be delivering any packages. And you see, that's faithfulness. Faithfulness to their job. But God requires faithfulness in our service to Him. That's the chief characteristic, the Bible says, that God requires of His servants. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, it is required in stewards or servants that a man be found faithful. That's the number one requirement that God has of those who would serve Him. He wants to be able to count on you to do the task He has entrusted you with. We are so blessed here at New Life to have many faithful servants. We have teachers, ushers, sound people, projectionists, ministry leaders, worship team members that no matter what, they are here and they give of their best to the Lord. They may be going through difficulty, but they're here and they give of their best to the Lord. The church could not run without faithful people like you. To all the faithful servants here at New Life, I want you to know that the Lord values you and we value you, and God will honor your faithfulness. What else does the Master value? The Master values fruitfulness. When He said, well done, good and faithful servant, when you do something good or well, it speaks of the quality of what you have accomplished. The servants commended as good by the Master were the ones who had put the talents or the money he had given them to good use and brought him a profit. They brought him a profit. They were fruitful with what he had given them. When we use our gifts, talents, treasures, and opportunities for the Lord, the kingdom of God is benefited. The kingdom of God profits. Souls are brought into his kingdom. Lives are touched. There is an increase. There is a benefit to the Lord's kingdom. And I'm so grateful that we have wonderful servants here who give of their best to the Lord. They do a good work. They are fruitful in ministry. And God values your efforts. God values your fruitfulness. And we value your fruitfulness. What else does the Lord value? The Master values risk-taking. What is risk-taking? Risk-taking is stepping out of your comfort zone. When a ministry opportunity presents itself, a ministry leader asks us to serve, we can't let fear rule in our heart. You see, that's what happened to the servant Jesus called wicked and lazy. He was ruled by fear. He was afraid to lose the one talent a master had given him. He was not willing to risk. The other two servants had to risk to use the 5 talents or the 2 talents the master had given them. They had to risk it to open a business or to invest it in some way in order to gain an increase. But the one servant buried it in the ground because he was afraid. He was ruled by fear. And we cannot allow fear to rule our hearts when a ministry opportunity presents itself. If a ministry leader asks us to serve, we can't let fear rule and say, oh, no, I don't think I can do that. Or no, I've never done anything like that. And a slew of other excuses. We need to step out in faith. The wicked and lazy servant allowed fear to keep him from doing anything from the master. And if we allow fear to rule, it's going to keep us on a church pew for the rest of our lives, never doing anything for the master. The good and faithful servants were those who were willing to risk and brought a great return for the master. I'm so grateful for all of the servants here who have stepped out of your comfort zone. Because many of you, when you were asked to serve, you felt a little bit of that fear in your heart. I don't know if I can lead worship. I don't know if I can teach a Sunday school class. I don't know if I can lead a small group. I don't know if I can translate the services. You felt that in your heart, but you did not allow it to rule. And you, by faith, stepped out and became a servant of the Lord. And God has been using you to bless and to touch lives. I am so grateful that you are willing to step out of your comfort zone. And the master values that, and he will reward you for that. Thirdly, be encouraged to serve faithfully because of the master's guerdon. You say, what on earth is that? I had to find another word that began with G. And this is the only one I could. That meant what I wanted it to mean, even though it's an unfamiliar word. But a guerdon is a payment or reward given in return for a service rendered. A payment or reward given in return for a service rendered. And in this parable in verses 21 and 23, Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. That is the master's guerdon, the payment or the reward for the service we have rendered. The master remembers your service. In Hebrews 6:10, the scripture says, for God is not unrighteous so as to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. The Lord does not forget your labors. God is keeping record of everything that you do for his kingdom, in ministering to his church for the glory of his name. If you opened God's records books, under some names, there would be a whole list of works. Turn the page, there might be another name and the sheet may be blank. Which page are you? God is keeping record. God makes note of everything that you do in ministering to his church and advancing his kingdom. We can't take anything else we accomplish in this earth to heaven with us. But our labors for the Lord, they follow us, and he will reward us. The Master remembers. He remembers every time you got home tired from work, but you got dressed and you came to lead worship, or to lead the Roar Rangers, or to lead the girls' ministry. He remembers every time you were exhausted, and on a Sunday morning you, in your flesh, would have liked to stay in bed. But you got up because you knew that there was a Sunday school class waiting for you to teach them the Word of God. God was taking note. God was taking note. And he will remember everything that you've done, every sacrifice that you have made. None of it will go unnoticed or unrewarded. The Master remembers your service, and the Master rewards your service. To the disciples' concern, when they said, "We have left all to follow you," Jesus responded that their sacrifice for his sake would be rewarded 100-fold in this life and in the life to come. 100-fold. Now, if you had an investment opportunity to invest in something that would turn around and give you 100% return on investment, which one of you wouldn't jump at that investment? 100% return for investment means if you put $10,000, you're gonna get that back plus 100%. Which one of you wouldn't jump at that investment, especially when banks are paying less than 1% to have your money in a savings account? Amen? If you could get back 100%, you would jump all over it. And God says, if you serve me, I'm going to give you back 100%. 100-fold for all that you do. Hallelujah. There is no investment you can make on earth. You invest your time every day to go to work. You invest your energies. At the end of the year, do they give you 100% raise? There's nothing you can do on this earth that gets the return of serving the Lord. You see, he said that there are rewards for serving him. Rewards that we experience and enjoy both now and for eternity. Some of those rewards are his approval and his affirmation. Part of that reward is sharing in his eternal happiness or joy. A part of that reward is trusting us with greater opportunity for service both here and eternity, because one day we're going to rule and reign together with him. We're going to have ministry in eternity. And he says that if you're faithful with the little bit that you have, both down here and in eternity, he's going to increase your opportunity for service. Some of that reward is his blessings here on earth, his favor that is bestowed upon us in tangible ways in this earthly life. And he says both here and eternity, he will give back to us 100-fold. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Be encouraged that the blessings that the Lord bestows upon those who faithfully serve him will exceed any sacrifice that you have made by 100-fold. 100-fold. He said he would reward our sacrifice 100-fold. Today, I know that whatever we say or do to recognize and express our appreciation to all of those who serve so faithfully in New Life will pale in comparison to the rewards that the Lord bestows both in this life and in the life to come. And I know that so many of you, you don't do it for recognition here on earth or for appreciation here on earth. You do it out of a heart that loves the Lord and that wants to serve Him. But we want you to know that your labors are recognized, that your labors are appreciated. And so I want to ask every person who volunteers in New Life to come forward to these altars. Would you do that? Every person, whether you're an usher or you're a counter or you're a nursery worker or you're on the cleaning team, whatever you do, you're a translator, you come, whatever you do, you volunteer in some capacity, would you come to this altar?